God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Oh, good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. So appreciate you being with me tonight. Going to be digging into the doctrines of Genesis just a bit. But before we get to that, oh, what an evening it has been for me. I'm only laughing because, my goodness, people love to judge. They love to judge and do whatever they think is right without really understanding what they are talking about. What am I talking about? Well, friends, as most of us know who live in society, who live sometimes on social media, dealing with things and just seeing how things go throughout life, how people justify sin, whatever sin it might be, it is just incredible to me how people will take things and twist them to be whatever they want them to be. For instance, someone recently shared on social media, Jesus said to love one another. There are no exceptions. Happy Pride Month. Now, I would agree. Jesus said to love one another. Absolutely, we are to do that. There are no exceptions. We are to love. And I've shared numerous times on this program, what is love? Sadly, too many people these days seem to think that enabling people in their sin is love. That by looking at their sin and just celebrating it, that is love. No. That is not love. That actually goes against biblical love. You see, love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. We need to understand that whatever sin someone is dealing with, even ourselves, yes, I like it when someone shares things with me in a nice way. Absolutely, if I'm dealing with something, but then I still have a choice to make. Is that person really telling me the truth? Are they sharing with me something that really isn't biblical? I get to make a decision in that, just like someone else does. It's why I'm such a proponent of individual liberty for every single person. Let people live out their lives and they make decisions themselves. Let God deal with them. If they choose to go down a path that leads to death and destruction, and as they're going down that path, you're warning them in love and telling them, hey, whoa, stop. That's going to lead to death and destruction. If they choose not to listen, that is on their head. That is between them and God. It's not your responsibility anymore. It's theirs. If you've lovingly shared, hey, that's not a good plan, and you lovingly tell them through long suffering, you be kind. Friends, being kind isn't just, oh, okay, well, do whatever you want. No, that's not being kind. At the same time, we can't be rude. And let's just be honest, when we are rude, I say when we are because you're a human being, I'm a human being. When we're rude, then we need to own up to it. Confess our sin. Ask that person for forgiveness and then move on. Friends, again, with this person that shared that Jesus said to love one another, there are no exceptions, and then they say Happy Pride Month. That's celebrating sin. What I love is someone posted on this social media site, Jesus loved them all and commands us to love them all, but he also told people to go and sin no more. Not everyone is going to heaven. We have choices to make. Here's what's so mind-boggling to me is the person that shared this initial post about celebrating sin liked that comment. What? Makes no sense. And then they write, yes, we all sin. Yours is no different. We are all to sin no more, but need mercy every day. You can't go to heaven on good deeds alone. We can't win hearts if we don't show the love of Jesus. Now, this is where this person is confused. Because Jesus' love is telling the truth. Jesus told the rich young ruler the truth. He told the woman caught in adultery the truth. He told the 20,000 people that left him after the feeding of the 5,000 the truth. And they chose not to follow him anymore. So would you say Jesus didn't really love them? Of course he did, because he told them the truth. So friends, again, I just couldn't sit there and watch this anymore. The difference is the approach. One approach is biblical. The other approach is just celebrating worldly sin. We cannot encourage people in their sin. How do you think that is showing them love? And Jesus showed that. It's an honest question. Every single sin is repugnant to Almighty God, which means human beings need to change their action. So this person commented back to me, wow, celebrating their sin or their choice? Like, your choice in sin is different. But being a white male, I can't believe they went there, but being a white male, you can sin all you want and no one's going to tell you to choose a different sin. Your stretch at claiming I'm encouraging them to sin is incorrect. Really? I'm encouraging their choice. Same thing. Again, in my mind, this really makes no sense. Friend, I just encourage you to hear this. Everyone's sin is worthy of God's mercy. If a person chooses to confess it, ask for forgiveness, and repent of it. Absolutely. That is biblical. This is biblical in God's way. If a person chooses to thumb their nose at God and celebrate their sin as normal or the way they were born, regardless of what the sin is, God will administer judgment on that person. He loves us so much, though, that he desires us to be with him, so he made the way back to the Father. If we so choose to accept the free gift of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and he offers us the free gift of eternal life. You see, Jesus defeated death. And if we choose to not receive this free gift and continue to live in sin without confession, asking for forgiveness and repenting from it, we'll be held in judgment. And that's not my opinion. Not at all. It's straight up Bible. Now, this person then goes on to say, you continue to live in sin as well, sir. So again, I will ask, how are you different? How do you know they haven't repented? How do you know anything about them? So I'll just put it this way. Number one, so glad you asked the question. I truly am. By the way, we'll get to more of what this person went on, so we know they're really not asking the question, but I want to answer it. Friends, the fruit of someone's life shows if they have repented of their sin or not. That doesn't mean they're perfect. It means that they strive to obey the commands of God. And when they mess up, they confess their sin. They ask for forgiveness and then repent of it. Repenting is to turn from our sin and evil and wicked ways and go God's way. I never claimed, nor do I claim, that once a person comes to Christ, that they don't sin anymore. Now, there are people out there that believe that. I'm going to leave that between them and God. And if that's you, you know what? I love you. I know people who are Christians and they still are bent towards sinning. But their heart isn't to stay in that sin. Their heart, because of their actions, meaning confessing sin, asking for forgiveness, their heart is to want to serve God, to show God, I love you. I'm trying to do your will. This is why I know this person's question of how do you know they haven't repented? This is why I know this person's not asking the question with genuine wanting to know. They go on to say this. How do you know if some people have turned from this and back to Jesus? You don't, because you've never loved someone through the process and it shows. Okay. With that said, and I'm going to share a fast cast here in just a little bit, I'm going to dig into my own personal testimony tonight. And yes, we'll get to the doctrines of Genesis briefly. But friends, talking about working through the process, friends, that's something I teach every single day of my life. I emphasize it. It's something I believe that is very important, helping people to not just get to where they need to go. There is a process to life of learning and growing and becoming mature in the Lord. If a person keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again, and you don't correct it, or at least warn them about it, you know they're not doing it. So their desire in their heart isn't to fix it. Otherwise, they'd fix it. I'm going to give you a great example here. And I'm going to share this because I think it's pertinent with this conversation and it's pertinent to life. As some of you may or may not know, I have been blessed to run a basketball ministry here in the state of Ohio. Our teams don't want to go into it. We do pretty well. I'll put it that way. We've been doing quite well over the years. Started out super rough. I say super rough, so you know where we came from. One of our teams in the first year of existence, literally, and we play all Christian teams, by the way. One of our teams literally lost a basketball game 82, drum roll please, to 2. Yes, you heard that right. This is varsity level high school basketball. In the first year of our existence, one of our teams lost a game 82-2. I don't say that to pick on those players that were there or the coach. No, nothing like that. I'm trying to let you know how far we've come. As we continued, people began to realize, coaches began to realize, in order to get the results that we were wanting to get, discipline, first-time obedience needed to happen. And if it didn't, then discipline needed to be what took place. And if a person still was not doing what was being asked to do, they'd be disciplined again and talked to about it in love and then put back out there. And if they still wouldn't do it, well, now we've got to find someone else to do it. For instance, and some of you probably will not understand this only because you're not a sport person. But for my teams, I have things called non-negotiables, meaning things that you must do this or you're coming out of the game. If you don't do this, I'm taking you out. One of those things is no fast break layups against us at all. If the other team does get a fast break layup against us, and that was your person, you're coming out immediately. Not because I'm a jerk, but because you did not try to stop them and you didn't play defense. Now, please hear this. When we take that person out, we don't go and yell at them, "What are you doing? You're so terrible." No. We bring them out, and generally the person, and I coach girls varsity, usually what they do is this. They'll come out, and they'll smile, And a lot of times they'll go, I know, I let them get a fast break layup. I'm sorry. Now, if they have that attitude, I generally tell them, good, get a drink, and you're back in as quickly as possible. When you're ready to go in, you're in. Now, if they come out, why am I coming out? What? And they're doing nothing but, you know, Susie should have got her player. She should have stopped that. Now I know that that person is playing the blame game. They're coming up with excuses, trying to make explanations, not taking individual responsibility for what just went on. So generally, I tell that player, hey, go down, talk to the coach a little bit. Try to settle them down and help them to see, hey, you have to take ownership on this. And once they do, we put them back in. I'm sharing this with you because, friends, in essence, this is what this person does not understand. That's all part of the process that she's trying to tell me about. But seems to think the process is just let them do whatever they want and don't worry about it. No. That doesn't help people grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. It keeps people in their sinful state. If there's no confession, no asking for forgiveness, no repentance, are they really growing? Are you really loving them? Or are you just helping them to stay in, well, and wallow in their sin? My name is Jason Mazurek, your host for the program. I do encourage you to find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
If you're following Christ and doing your calling for Him, trust God. Friends, it's not about you anyway. And if another person chooses to not follow God, as long as their actions are not directly or negatively impacting another person, I would encourage you to let them go their way. Could another person be hurt indirectly? Well, more than likely, yes, but that is a result of living in a sinful world, isn't it? Consider the rich young ruler, friend. Jesus told him the truth and challenged him to go a certain way. The young man decided to do what he wanted to do and to go against God. Other than being selfish, why else would you or I or anyone try to force someone to follow God? I will leave you with this question. If you really are about following Christ and His example, are you willing to follow His example with the rich young ruler as well? Go find our blog post titled, Lead Me, Follow Me, or Get Out of My Way today.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
In the mid-1990s, I had made a very pointed decision in my life that I was going to search for and seek out truth and go to wherever absolute truth would go, wherever it was going to lead me. You see, earlier as a young man, I had chosen my own path and decided not to follow Jesus Christ at all. What I did not realize at the time when I had made this decision was I actually had decided to get to know Jesus Christ more intimately than ever before in my lifetime. You see, in John 14:6, Jesus made the claim that He was the way, the truth, and the life. So, since I had already made the decision to go wherever truth was going to lead me, I had already, in essence, made the decision to search for and seek out Jesus Christ. To dig more into this, you'll find my blog post titled, The Search for Truth.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Let's continue on right now. We'll take a look at the doctrines of Genesis very briefly. Again, this new resource coming out. It's Genesis, friends, is so much more than a book that describes the beginning and origin of life and the universe. It also lays down the foundation and gives us the first pictures, the first snapshots, and the first examples of every teaching of the Christian faith. Friends, the doctrines of Genesis, written by Charlie Wolcott. I'm so excited releasing. Just pumped about this. You'll be able to find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Friends, Charlie writes, the biggest point I make throughout the book is that you cannot separate Genesis from the gospel of Christ. without heavily reducing its power and message. While I do not deal much with the scientific aspects of young Earth versus old Earth, I do showcase theologically why young Earth is the only valid position the Bible teaches and why old Earth models do not just get Genesis wrong, but Jesus and the cross too. With that said, there are a number of old Earth creationists who do get Jesus and the cross correct. But they only do it by disjointing the two topics so much that it makes one wonder why they side with old Earth ideas to begin with. Friends, Charlie emphasizes more on the images that Genesis presents and what happens when we take those images consistently. We should notice that the judgment on sin is effective to all people of all places, and there's only one means of salvation. The flood, in particular, cannot make this any clearer. So when one rejects the flood as being global, they take that picture to the gospel. Such a person is actually saying that there are some who are outside the judgment of sin and do not need Christ. Friends, this is no insignificant or secondary topic. I know many people, even some of you listening to this, you believe that, but it is not. This is the most central part of the gospel, one means of salvation. Genesis makes this point on multiple occasions, from Adam and Eve with clothing to Cain and Abel with their sacrifices to Noah's flood to Abraham. And the list goes on and on. Salvation is done God's way and on God's terms, friends. We have no input into it other than our sin and our acceptance or rejection of those terms holistically. Friends, in this resource, Charlie heavily emphasizes the gospel in several chapters and showcases how Jesus truly is the second Adam, the one who did all that Adam should have done, but didn't. Friends, what Charlie hopes this book will do is not just edify and strengthen the church, but to be a tool that God uses to get Christians and churches back to Genesis and back to the foundations. Again, the way forward is back, friends, and back to the roots of everything. If the church gets back to our foundations, maybe our culture will return to its foundations too. Friends, I encourage you to get deeply rooted in Scripture and make Scripture be what drives your thinking. The Doctrines of Genesis, again, available in paperback, Kindle. It'll be at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I truly believe you don't want to miss this resource at all. Again, for me personally, this is a dream come true. It is a dream come true. When I was a young man, what took me away from the gospel of Jesus Christ straight up was the theory of evolution. Why can I say that and be so confident in that? Again, I'm telling you about my experience, so that's why I can be so confident in this. It brought me to a point of believing, you know, if evolution's true, I'm really not made in the image of God. I'm made in the image of some missing link. I didn't understand why sex should be inside of marriage and why God instituted it that way. It didn't make any sense because, friends, if there's no God, sex is just sex. We should be able to do whatever we want. I share that with you because as I began to live my life, and God brought a wonderful man into my life who started to share with me the inconsistencies in my beliefs and kept pointing me back to Genesis and back to how God instituted everything. And he basically was just saying, research and find out for yourself. Not just in the Bible, but even said, go look at the science. See what they're actually saying. Because what they're actually saying You're not going to believe it if you really understand what they're saying, simply because they don't even believe it. Things have changed so much, he went on to say. And as I dug into it more, I realized, oh my goodness, much of this is just made up in the minds of men. Friends, the doctrines of Genesis. I encourage you, get your copy when you can. Makes a great gift too. It's written by Charlie Wolcott. There, again, are over 200, yes, over 200 connections that Charlie found himself after digging into the New Testament that connect all the way back to Genesis. So things going on in the New Testament can't be so if they're not connected to Genesis 1 through 12. Again, my name is Jason DeZurek, your host for the program. The Doctrines of Genesis, written by Charlie Wolcott, available in paperback and Kindle. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You can also find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You go out, make today great, and don't be a pushover. I'll see you next time.
In Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.